From the Oregon coast through the Willamette Valley and Eastern Oregon, Columbia Gorge, and Washington, welcome back to Northwest Vine Time. We are syndicated on 8 stations across the Great Northwest, from Coos Bay and Bandon on the southern Oregon coast through Central Oregon, KBND in Bend, Oregon. Welcome to the show, as well as our listeners up and down the gorge and in Washington. Got a great show here we're in the process of with Jess Lyon, who is the partner and coordinating chair of the food and agricultural practice at Davis Wright Tremaine, really the preeminent expert, legal expert in the wine industry. And Jess, we talked about this. We touched on it a little bit earlier in the show. Obviously, the economy has changed for everyone, and that includes winemakers, vineyard owners. And prior to Great Recession or Great Depression 2.0, whatever you want to call it, there were different mindsets as to what the future held for Oregon and Washington wineries, especially the Oregon industry that we're so plugged into here. Some thought that there would be an unlimited appetite for Oregon wines. We've learned that obviously that's not the case. Price points in Oregon have always been such a hot topic because we know that it takes more to produce Oregon Pinot Noir than it does, say, other varietals around the world. What do Oregon winemakers in particular do? What can they do faced with this economic environment where the price points are squeezed? And, you know, we all go to the store now and a bottle of wine that was $30-something dollars a year ago is now $20.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see if some of the changes we've seen in the last year, both on the consumer side and on the wine producer side, if that are lasting changes. A lot of people are asking the question: is this the new normal, or is this a temporary response? And I think it does start in the vineyard. In much of Oregon's wine industry, particularly in the Willamette Valley, but in other of our high elevation sites in southern Oregon or colder sites in eastern Oregon and in eastern Washington, we are farming on the edge in many ways. Typically, we referred to that as farming on the edge in kind of an agricultural sense, a viticultural practices sense. Mm-hmm. Turns out we're talking about farming on the edge in a financial sense too.
Yeah.
And it really does start with our costs of production are typically high in order to produce the best fruit under difficult situations. And it's when, you know, the vines struggle often that we have some of our most beautiful fruit come off of those vineyards. So it's that challenge that increasingly our vineyard managers are doing a great job in proving up to the task. But it's a difficult task, but it definitely raises cost of production in the field. And then similarly, to produce these really fine products, it's a hands-off, labor-intensive, mainly machinery-off, labor-intensive product that it's expensive to produce. And so some of the challenge I've seen right now in the wine industry around price points is that some of those producers who were perhaps better set up and built organizations to sell, say, an $18 or $20 wine, and had been there even coming into this recession, are now seeing that pressure from producers who had been at higher price points and are now discounting down or close to that level. So there's a lot of noise, even within the Oregon wine industry, around a price point where previously there hadn't been as many producers.
And that leads me to my next question. I'm glad you pointed that out, because if you were diversified in your business model and maybe you had a high-end bottle of wine or wines, and you also had a value wine, great early on, because you were already at that price point when the consumer adjusted downward to, say, from a $40 bottle down to maybe a $20 or $25 bottle, or maybe even a $15 bottle. You were first to market, so you probably had some early financial success with that. But then, as you mentioned, you see other producers who, even a couple of years ago, we would have never imagined that winemaker would put out a bottle at that price point. Now they do. It's really squeezed that margin, hasn't it?
It's definitely squeezed the margin. In the end, at whatever price point you're at, even if you're at $45 or $70 or $100, it's about delivering value at mm-hmm. the price point. So that's where it comes from. Some of the somewhat bigger organizations that maybe have drill down into selling wines, you know, around $20 or so or less, their strength often comes from just long distribution relationships and deep distribution relationships where they've proven out partners and are reliable. Sometimes I think it's hard for us here in Portland or for folks in Seattle or elsewhere in the Northwest to appreciate that you get out of the Northwest and you still don't see that many different brands on the shelves.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of our biggest producers are still working very hard to maintain placements in grocery and on wine lists around the country. And so that's where they will prove themselves out. So some of the noise and price pressure comes locally, but they're feeling it when competitively amongst themselves, still trying to keep that that cooperative spirit. But there's definitely competition when they are out in the marketplace, particularly outside of the Northwest.
Yeah, no doubt about that. If you're just tuning in, this is Northwest Vine Time on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Brian Bushlack alongside Jess Lyon, the coordinating chair of the food and agricultural practice at Davis Wright Tremaine in Portland and really the expert in the Oregon wine industry. And, you know, it's an interesting time. And there were predictions a year or so ago that of the 400-something wineries that we currently have in the state of Oregon, that, you know, half of them would be wiped out by this great recession. That hasn't happened to this point. We hope it doesn't. Why is that? How have the wineries been able to hang in there to this point?
I guess it's for a couple reasons. One is a lot of the wineries, especially the smaller ones, are still largely self-financed, or their bank financing really has come on the real estate kind of farm homestead side around their vineyard, and less as business finance. So those that may be feeling the most financial pressure still have you know, some safety net. There's definitely some pain out there. And our folks are in this industry are working really hard. Winemakers are out in the market selling wine, building relationships like they haven't before, directly to consumers and with the distributors. And that direct-to-consumer piece at the tasting rooms, the sorts of rights that folks have fought for on the legal side quite a bit, direct shipping, self-distribution, those are as important as ever, because when one of our wineries can get full retail dollar for a bottle of the wine, that's what protects the margin. So even if it's a relatively smaller percentage of their sales, any incremental breakdown of sales that is direct really affects their profitability. And from what we're hearing is, as consumers are staying close to home in the Northwest, buying local, supporting local, it's that tasting room and direct sales revenue that is really keeping businesses together. It's that relationship they've been building with consumers.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I said this on our business show, Business Briefing on KXL in the Portland market, where I believe that 5 years ago, I've always been a relationship and referral guy. I know you have as well. That's how you built your business, and so did I. But 5 years ago, there wasn't a premium on that because, hey, people just, you know, credit markets were easy. Everything was easy. And you mentioned something about, the winemakers between really after Christmas and bud break, they're on the road. And I used to have no trouble lining up interviews for the show in January, February, even March. It's a different story now. I got to go to New York or Dallas or San Francisco to track down an Oregon winemaker.
Yeah, it's really true. I know a number of my clients, even just, you know, the last few weeks, are still on the road in between being at the winery and with their winemaking staff. And it's a hard, it's hard job. And that's why they have to love it so much, because you can put those hours in, I think when you really enjoy what you're doing, and it shows in their product.
Yeah, definitely. There's that misconception that once the harvest is done, they kick back and drink wine. And Joe Dobbs and I always joke about this. It is a year-round job for our friends in the Oregon wine industry. Well, our conversation will continue here with Jess Lyon. He's a partner and the coordinating chair of the food and agricultural practice at Davis Wright Tremaine in downtown Portland, one of the experts in the Oregon wine industry. very highly regarded. We appreciate him taking time out of his weekend to join us here and share his insight with you and our audience of vineyard owners and winemakers here on Northwest Vine Time. More with Jess after we take a short break.